How is technology revolutionizing the retail and consumer sector? Customers are getting increasingly demanding, not just in terms of product quality. They expect personalization, delivery when and where they choose, the ease of convenience of online shopping. Now, digital transformation can be the answer. It offers that opportunity to save costs, get connected with the customers, improve the customer experience. But for established retailers, overhauling the major supply chain and the distribution process also presents an expensive and logistical challenge. In this episode of Tech at Work, we crack the retail code. What should be your best digital strategy? What are the big technology trends? How can you incorporate artificial intelligence in your retail strategy? I am Reema Tendulkar in conversation with Souvik Banerjee, and you're watching Tech at Work. Souvik is a Ranji Trophy player, an entrepreneur, a mentor to 50 plus startup CEOs, a techie at heart, and CTO of Tata Click, and the advisor to the Tata Industries. Souvik, thank you very much for joining in. Let me start by asking you, what is your digital strategy at Tata Click?
Firstly, thank you for having me. It is a pure play internet business, so we can call ourselves not the digital strategy. We call ourselves the digital pilgrims. Why? Because we are born out of a need for digital capabilities. So the transformation is not required. We were born as a digital company. The strategy changes with every FY based on competition, based on newer operating models. Till now, we have been a pure play ship from store model with an ability to do click and collect in India. Live, real-time brand stores. It's a brand-obsessed platform. Going forward, our three-pronged strategy is very simple. We will focus on more offline to online, more fulfillment and experience of offline getting married to online. And the last part is, which is the most important part is, we are going to get much, much more obsessed about high-end premium luxury brands.
What I understand is right now you can source your inventory, say, from a Westside store and sell it on Tata Click, but you've also tied up with other big luxury brands where you're adopting a ship in store, which means you're basically fulfilling the order. You're going to the store, say the Mobla store in Bombay, you're picking up the order and just delivering it. So you're largely providing the logistical part for fulfilling the brand order, right?
So yeah, I mean, omnichannel, you can call it in three different ways. Omnichannel has got the customer experience online, offline, but logistics efficiency is primarily the key part of omnichannel experience. So ship from store, what do you mean by ship from store? So what we say is we don't buy inventory in bulk. The technology has been able to connect to all brand stores, whether it's in the marketplace or the luxury and indie luxury, and inventory keeps coming in during the day through the reconciliation of these stores. When a customer places an order, that order basically is goes through a hopping logic, and like a Uber mechanics works, and one of the stores will raise up their hand and say, I want to fulfill that order. What are you doing to this? You are, one, allowing the genuineness of a product from that store to the customer. You take the entire fakeness away, hence it's a brand forward. Mm. Secondly, you can always do click and collect, or you can always return to that store, which leads to a greater amount of optics for the brands and the stores to bring physical footfall back. Because, you know, with all the e-commerce capabilities of convenience, the physical footfall back in large, expensive brand stores took a dent globally. And this is way forward for us to also augment the fulfillment plus footfall back in the stores and then connect it back online.
But any brand or any platform can replicate this model, right? Apart from the fact that you have Westside and Tata Click, that apart, but purely about fulfilling, fulfilling orders from a particular brand. Any platform can replicate it. And so where does the differentiation lie?
And you're true. But where it lies is, it takes a lot of effort because brand and stores are not tech forward. They are fundamentally retailers. And the maturity of their technology from a brand to brand, from brand A to brand B to brand C, varies. So some would be working on spreadsheets and some would be working on, you know, advanced ERP systems. What Tata Click has been able to establish is connect to 1,200 plus brands across these three, over 6,000-7,000 integrations directly, more or less in near real-time mode with the store, with the store, with the brand's warehouse, and with the brand's franchisee stores. And that in itself gives us an advantage in go-to-market, which we have had. Secondly, replication, of course, is a possibility, but we will be always ahead. While people replicate it, we will crack another advanced tech to ensure that brand and stores work.
I'll come to the part where you said the other advanced tech you're looking to crack, but you'll always have the advantage of the Tata Group. That in itself brings in so much credibility when you are fulfilling the order vis-a-vis another platform. How is your platform different from, say, an Amazon?
It's different because we don't buy inventory. We don't buy inventory and we don't store it in the warehouse. We directly ensure that inventory gets fulfilled by a host of 3PLs we have on the ground in India, and that goes to the doorstep of the customer. There are two ways. Electronics, say suppose example, large appliances, a fridge, freezer, television, washing machine, you know, a 60-inch LG TV or a Samsung TV, their way of fulfillment is very different. Mm. Tata Group example works. We have got Tata Group companies like Voltas, Chroma, Westside, Tanishq, CaratLane, Titan. The advantage is those are the stores which we seamlessly integrate, because those, mind you, those are all independent organizations, but seamlessly integrate. That integration agility now shows to the non-Tata Group organizations saying that, wow, can we integrate with you guys as well? And we've got probably more non-Tata Group brands.
Yes.
But of course, the advantage we have in retail sector, Tata Group's footprint in the retail, gives us a massive advantage.
By not owning the inventory, you take a lot more time to fulfill the order. So the delivery time vis-a-vis, say, an Amazon, which promises to deliver within 24 hours if you're a Prime member, versus, say, a Tata Click, which will take 3 to 5 business working days.
Correct.
That reduces the customer experience.
So we are working on that one. Our average TAT to a standard delivery, we have brought it down to about 2.2 days.
Okay.
But mind you, that's for lifestyle. But if I want to replicate that in large appliances, which has pickup, installation, post-order, customer experience also tied in, customers are willing to wait. If I've got, he's ordered 2 air conditioners or a large fridge freezer, they're willing to wait because they understand that it's a large product. You will see a certain few innovation models in very localized cities where we are going to trial out, a far shorter TAT.
Full form of TAT is?
Turnaround time, yeah.
Is your model more profitable? Is Tata Click profitable right now? Because when I'm comparing it to, say, an Amazon or a Flipkart, for instance, they're loss-making.
See, we have an advantage because we are asset-light. We are not buying inventory in bulks, in millions at the beginning of a financial year. We went live as an organization on the 27th of May 2016. That makes us just over 2.5 years, just less than 3 year old. The intent is to become EBITDA neutral in the first 5 years.
And the reason you can become EBITDA neutral in 5 years is because you're not owning inventory and you're asset light.
Yeah, inventory owning costs billions of investments, right? That, of course, is one of our biggest advantage. We are hopeful.
The biggest online brands are actually owning inventory, so they're not really following the asset light model.
Correct. And that's why the online brands are divided into two. Traditional brands, example, a Westside. Or you can call an online retail brand like a Bombay Shirt Company or the Bombay Watch Company, which is a completely digital brand. The traditional brands, if they want to become tech forward, they have to put a fair amount of capex. And not everybody is an H&M or a Zara who has dedicated tech capex after they have built an H&M or a Zara globally. I was reading an article yesterday, H&M's now going to roll out e-commerce in Mexico. I was fundamentally very part of the original work H&M did. Brands do not want, brands always say, and we look after our brands exhaustively. We bring in traffic dedicatedly to them. We create their dedicated brand landing platform pages. And the intent is not to just list products of the brands. There's a lot of personal care which we ensure the brands. Dedicated direct digital marketing is given to the brands. That's why the brands are loving us. Brands do not want to invest on too much of tech capex and opex because they want to sell products. They want to get their stores profitable. Where we come in is we sometimes call ourselves as a physical marketplace and the online is an order taking engine. Hence the brands are saying that you look after our tech for customer acquisition, whereas we focus on design, manufacturing, procurement of the products to the stores. And from there on, it's your journey.
So it's pretty much what we call an omni-channel.
Absolutely. True,
but
traditional.
But now a lot of retailers are going the omni-channel.
Absolutely.
Reliance Jio or a Walmart Flipkart.
Absolutely.
So what is it about omni-channel? Why is it online-only strategy not working? And what is the benefit of omni-channel?
So certain products, people still want to
touch and feel.
Touch and feel, correct. Clothing, you have a certain amount of apparels which you like. You know your jeans, your sizes, your fitment. I would go for Levi's XYZ. But when it comes to trialing out a new jacket or a
gown, it's all about the fit.
It's all about the fit.
Texture.
That's why omnichannel is playing a more important part, the look and feel, the touch and feel. And that's why going forward, you'll see a lot of magic mirrors, virtual mirrors coming into play, where people want to basically order and might go and pick it up.
So I understand the transition from a physical store to a digital presence, the transition that a physical store makes to omnichannel, because the amount of investment, additional investment,
correct,
that you have to make is less. But now for a purely online company to actually build a physical store, invest in that real estate, is a lot of money that we're talking about.
Yeah. Yeah.
So why are companies going down that road? Is it worth the return
and
on investment?
And let me call you the two good companies in India who have tried it is Lenskart and Chumbak. Oh. Right? Lenskart and Chumbak were typical traditional online e-commerce companies. And they realized that, India likes to go into a mall, a store, especially the large tier one, tier two cities and the prime metros. And it's an experience for a family over the weekend to just go and spend 3 to 4 hours. Now, what you will see is large malls plugging in transshipment hubs and online e-commerce while you spend that time and do your shopping and then get delivered and pick it up on your way.
Is it worth the investment for Lenskart and Chumbak?
I don't know. Let me put it this way. We are in an experimental mold because we are talking about not 1.4 billion people transacting. We're talking about actually 40 to 50 million e-commerce transacting customers.
What's very much the biggest risk for these omni-channel companies?
Stockouts, inventory stockouts. See, when you work with brand stores, the physical individuals are going and picking up the stock as well. And then there's a reconciliation happening across these stores. And that is getting fed back to platforms like us. Stockout is always a big risk. And that's why the brands, relationship with the brands, ensuring that stock is coming out of their warehouse to the stores, and it's a precision-driven technology which we have mastered actually, is from the time the stock leaves the warehouse, if required the stock is not there, the platform of Tara Click will actually go and hop and look at the warehouse where the stock is there, ensuring that customer experience is at the prime and he doesn't have, but saying that, it's a journey. We have stock out, customer experience, PIN code serviceability is a big challenge. India is not a zip code or a postcode nation, like one building, one ID. India is a PIN code nation. A lot of buildings are in one PIN code. Now, what we have mastered is, when I'm ordering from my PIN code, example X, the stores which the product I have ordered for, the nearest store will basically raise their hands and ship it out. If it's not in the city, we've also allowed the technology to basically ship it out from another city to the customer. So PIN code serviceability based on stock is India's biggest challenge.
Let me now talk about the journey of artificial intelligence. Now, you did your doctorate in natural language processing, NLP, and deep learning way back in 1999, when no one was even talking about it. Even AI had not become such a buzzword that it is today. Talk about the journey of AI in retail.
So let me just get it. I've got research. I've got a lot of research work which I kept on doing over the years. Artificial intelligence has been there for the last 60, 70 years. Now, in the last 3 or 4 years, with Google making huge amount of research investments, acquiring somebody like Boston Dynamics, Facebook working on customer profiling and data and personalization and recommendation, and then, of course, Elon Musk's work and Jack Ma's work on artificial intelligence. What we in India have realized that in our limited capacity, which are the two key areas of AI we can use? It's fundamentally predictive, fundamentally recommendation or recommender tool driven.
Which is what Netflix or...
Absolutely, absolutely. How intelligent is your recommendation? How intelligent is your personalization? How intelligent is your search? Is it got relevance logic built in? That's one part. The second part is not the front end part, not the customer facing part, is the part behind
for business. Optimizing supply chain.
Optimizing supply chain. How can we predict using maybe a random forest or a time series or a Bayesian model to predict inventory of these stores and pricing of these products 2 or 3 weeks in advance and give that data to my category teams and my logistics and supply chain teams so that they can do a fortnight forecasting model and get the team ready.
And how efficient is the forecasting model right now, say, for your company and the data that you have?
Experimentations are going on. We are failing, we are learning, we are again experimenting, getting a little bit of success, then making the data models a lot more efficient.
So what have you perfected so far?
I think our recommendation models, which we are working with a few product partners, we are getting there. Personalization, again, we are working with a few partners and our in-house team in giving you a personalized experience, even if you have for a logged-in or a non-logged-in user. The holy grail is the anonymous user, unstructured data to make sense out of it. So we are not. I wouldn't say mastered is a very big word. It's an ongoing journey. Machine learning takes time. Machine learning takes time to understand data. It's not instantaneous.
But where can machine learning come into use in retail?
It's actually device learning, to be honest. In our case, it's device learning behavior.
Can you elaborate?
It's clickstream device learning. So if you're clicking around in your iOS or an Android app, if you're clicking around in your mobile browser, say Chrome or Safari, if you're clicking around in your desktop, the application starts learning your behavioral patterns. So, example, I log in and I want to buy a watch, or say suppose Rima logs in, Rima wants to buy a necklace, right? Or you want to buy a pair of shoes and I want to buy a pair of sunglasses. But I'm browsing constantly for the last 2-3 days, few minutes every day, and exploring what products. The third day when you launch your app or your browser, we are now able to give you some decent amount of recommendation based on your browser behavior. So that's without you or me logging in. If you're logged in, we can get to a little bit more recommendation, perfection-driven widgets, which we can provide you on products. That's the first baby steps we are taking. But the idea is to build 100 machine learning and deep learning algorithms just on the personalization, recommendation, and projection and prediction capability for back-end and front-end accordingly.
Tell me the cool innovation or the technology which is currently used, say, in United States and China, which India can at least catch up.
Oh, okay. Fabulous.
Five technologies.
So I think what China has perfected is an endless aisle model. So if you go into a physical retail store, whether it's a grocery store, China has started to replicate that. So you know the customer. You can identify that he's a loyal customer of X.
So how does the store recognize? Facial recognition?
Facial recognition. So once you recognize the guy, and then there is a notification, predictive notification comes up on your device, you can check out without having a human intervention. You can go to an aisle and you can basically
buy and scan. China Pay is doing that with a great product company called Resolve. They can buy and scan, and then all gets through, and then throughout
so
your
no
checkout.
No more waiting lines at checkout.
Hopefully, during Ganesh Chaturthi and Diwali, we'll be able to solve some of this.
Self-checkout kiosks.
Self-checkout kiosks. Secondly, something which is extremely important is certain products are having a lot of adoption of AR. Not VR, AR. Say, suppose I want my Bose speakers on the corner of my living room, and I can take a picture. The organic AR capability allows you to take a picture. I can embed that on my room's corners picture, and then understand while I'm on the go or in a store how quickly and how seamlessly it will go look. So that for e-commerce, AR for e-commerce is a humongous growth area in North America and China. The third technology which I think the Americans and the Chinese are working on is brain-computing interface, where they are able to put a nanochip in and project and predict. Fundamentally in the healthcare sector, there are many proof of concepts and pilots going on where somebody who is in a semi-coma state and has been non-responsive are able to respond to graphs saying that, do you want to eat rice or chapati in the evening? And not all of your brain nerves get damaged if you are in that sort of state. So brain-computing interface is going to be the next wave, which Chinese and the North Americans are focusing on. Good old tech.
In retail,
there are two, which is extremely exciting. Tata Click is actually on a journey, is identifying a customer when he's walking around and parking near a mall. Is identification technologies through using Wi-Fi, GPS, Bluetooth, and triangulate that. If you have an app, and identifying and human.
So I have an app. I have a Tata Click app, for instance.
So we are trying to build a technology where going forward, if you have been on our platform, you bought something, you added something to the wish list, and say suppose you're going towards the RCT Mall or the Phoenix Mall, we are able to now locate where you are and prompt you that, you know, you've got these things in your wish list. Would you like to come into this store? The last part in retail, which I think you will see a lot coming in, is an experience zone and an experience store. So for large format brands, you will see a complete digital store of the future, like an Apple or a Farfetch. That is going to come to India very soon. It is starting. North Americans have started work on it. The Chinese guys have started work on it. The Alibaba Starbucks is a fabulous use case, how an experience, digital experience and a physical experience is married together. It is the store of the future sort of a concept.
How soon can India adopt all these technologies?
See, I think India is behind in a lot of ways, only because of optical fiber. India has to get on to, India's 4G is actually not 4G. It is, we all know the speeds are of 3G. I mean, we test our sites on 3G actually, because bulk of India is that. India's optical fiber journey, the entire digital India journey, the broadband layout, the infrastructure journey is still 5 to 7 to 8 years away. I wouldn't say 10 years because there's a lot of work going on. India has to get optical fiber ready. I mean, we can't bring in 5G if we don't have a proper airwave of 4G. Once that happens, you will see a lot of it. The fact of the matter is that a robo giving you something from the aisle and handing it over, these are experiments. A mass factory model, it will take a long time. You will more see a lot of platform engagement without physical robots roaming around as humanoids in a bank or a retail. What realistically in 5 years will happen is stores will get tech forward, online platforms will get tech forward, and there's going to be a marriage.
Just as we wrap this up, I want you to tell me, it's been 2.5, 3 years at Tata Click, the biggest three lessons for you?
Top three, biggest three lessons for me would be one, know your customer. Sometimes we have an idea what the customer wants, but unless and until we start seeing the data, we don't know what the customer wants. And number two is being customer post order ready. So we always think that the post order will go into fulfillment, LP will pick it up, but the customer has got various different mindsets. Every individual is different. And now you have social media. They will rant over there. They will call up the call center. So we try, and then we hold a huge responsibility being part of the Tata Group. Every customer's issue matters. So working on post-order much more efficiently is the second lesson learned. Third lesson learned is do not...
These are maxims, right?
These are maxims, but lessons, because you can't be ready on day one, knowing that what's the customer experience for various people. So these are lessons which become maxims. The third pure lesson is, I came from Western Europe, and is the load. In when India transacts, when it transacts, we thought Indians will transact during the day, but we realized that Indians transact more between 8 and 3 in the morning. And during a campaign, the load, I have never seen load during a particular few, 5 minutes or 10 minutes or 15 minutes when a campaign goes live. And I've worked on Boxing Day sales on large e-commerce platforms. India's load management of traffic online is a huge lesson I'm constantly learning.
And why is it that we're not able to manage?
You remember the Big Billion Day fiasco, and then Flipkart immediately learned, and what a beautiful way they do the Big Billion Day today, and then Amazon do their Amazon sale day. It is at that very given point in time when people are transacting, nothing is happening apart from the physical database is writing with so many concurrent users. Concurrency of large users, how to handle them is an art. Concurrency I had handled, and we all had handled with our backgrounds accordingly, but with every passing day, it's a new learning. And that's infrastructure management in e-commerce is a humongous piece, which an optimization on lessons learned. We do a great amount of root cause analysis on a daily basis, which is helping.
Thanks, Souvik, for your time. So lots of interesting insights coming in on retail, AI, and its adoption. Thanks again for watching Tech at Work. I am Reema Tendulkar.